You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
So glad you're with us this morning. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. I know we have several first-time guests in the house. Let's welcome all of our first-time guests, church. We're so glad you are with us today. Thank you for being our guests and welcome to all of you. Let me just get right into it. Tomorrow we are kicking off 21 days of prayer. Every year at this time of year, we dedicate the first part of the year to prayer because we really believe something happens when we give the first part of our year to God in prayer, when we just make that a priority, when we get things in order and make first things first. And so we want to encourage you to join us as we kick off 21 days of prayer, starting January 6th tomorrow through the 26th. You know, science and research says if you want to create a new habit, right, you have to do something for at least 12 days, something like that. Well, we're going to do this for 21 days and get into the habit of prayer. We want to encourage everyone to set aside some time for prayer over the next 21 days, okay? We're all going to do this together. We're going to encourage each other. There's a sense that we're all in this together as a church family. And we have some prayer guides for you today as you leave the service. We're making these available to you. And there's some great models in here to help you with prayer, like the Lord's Prayer and some Psalms, things like that. So this is our gift to you. And all of our kids are going to get a kids' version as well today over in Redemption Kids. Let me just mention, because we're probably going to run out of these after today, that the prayer guide is also available online. RedemptionCommunityChurch.org/winter, which is on your winter flyer today that you received. If you go there, you'll see everything that's happening in the next few months, and there's a link there where you can also download this prayer guide if you want to get a digital copy. So that's available to you, and we really just want to encourage everybody to set aside some time for prayer. The other thing we want to encourage you to do is to embrace some form of fasting. If fasting is new to you, fasting is like adding fuel to the fire of your prayer life. It's something we see all throughout Scripture. Jesus fasted. We see that the people of God fasted. And so the most traditional form of fasting is to substitute a meal for a time of prayer. So let me just give you some fasting ideas, okay? You could start by substituting a meal, whatever meal of your choice, during the day, and set aside some time for prayer. Personally, I love to do a sun-up to sundown fast. I go from dinner to dinner. That's kind of my normal rhythm with fasting, and I just dedicate some extra time to prayer. So that's something to consider. Another fast that you could do is what's called a Daniel fast. The Daniel fast has gotten really popular in recent years, and this is a diet of like fruits and vegetables and whole grains only. Some of you have done juicing before. If you want ideas for the Daniel fast, just Google Daniel fast. There's like 1,000 ideas out there. Come on, here's a little bonus to fasting. You might even lose some weight. I know there's a few of us who are carrying a few extra pounds after the holidays, okay? We don't fast for that, but not a bad side effect to get a little bit healthier in the new year. So we want to encourage everybody to embrace some form of fasting. I know some of you can't fast if you're, you know, pregnant or a diabetic or you got some kind of medical issue. And so you might want to consider a media fast. A media fast is where you give up some time with TV and social media and Netflix. Yes, I promise you, you will live, you will survive, and you set aside some time for prayer. It's amazing how much time you get back when you unplug a little bit. I can tell you one little change I made this past year that's had a major impact on me. I took Netflix and Prime Video off of my phone. I know, gasp, right? And I lived, I survived, I'm here. And can I tell you, I got so much time back. I'm not saying I never watched Netflix. Amy and I watch a show every now and then, but I got it off my phone. I started going to bed on time earlier and not, you know, getting sucked into binge watching like late into the night. So I'm just saying some of you might really want to consider a media fast. Watch how you gain so much time back and you can devote some of that time to prayer. So we want to invite all of you, our whole church, to embrace this next 21 days with us. And then toward the end of the month on the 23rd, we're going to gather together and have a worship night to kind of culminate and cap off this time of 21 days of prayer. So it's going to be a great month together. Here's what I believe. I believe if you get into the habit of prayer, you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to have a greater sense of God's presence in your life, and that will change everything. If you want to set a course for a great 2020, then jump on board and let's get into this habit of 21 days of prayer together. So we're dedicating the first part of this year to prayer. And in keeping with that theme today, we're kicking off a brand new series called pray first. Come on, everybody say that with me. We're going to pray first. How many of you really want to have a better life in 2020? Like the best life possible. You want to grow? You want to get better? Five or six of you? All right, come on. We're going to get a little more motivated than that this year. Yes, we're going to get a little more motivated, right? We want to grow, right? This is a church for people who want to grow spiritually. This is a church for people who want to get better at life. And I believe most of us want that for this next year. And I don't know about you, but it can be a little bit overwhelming this time of year because like in my social feed, so many people are posting ideas about how to eat healthier, how to get healthier, in my news feed, like all these different things you can do. And it's kind of overwhelming because most of us didn't implement half of the ideas that we got last year. You know, we didn't achieve all the goals that we had. Like, here's a new year and we're starting all over again. And so I'm not going to inundate you. I want to give you one simple idea, and that is pray first. Pray first, because if you do that, if you invite God's presence into your life, if you grow spiritually, I believe that's going to affect every area of your life, your finances, your health, your mental well-being, your emotional well-being, your relationships, your marriage, if you're married, your career, your work life. I believe this simple habit, this simple discipline of prayer can change your life, can change this new year ahead for you. So our rallying cry for this year, say it with me again, pray first. Pray first. How would it change things for you if you learn to pray first? Think about all of the different reactions that we have when we have a problem in particular. All the things we do first. We complain first. We worry first. We freak out first. We speak first. We act first. We react first. There's a ton of other things that we do naturally rather than praying first. How would it change your life if you really began to pray first? Here's the idea that I want you to put in your notes today, okay? Here's the big idea for today's message. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response. We want to make it our first response, not our last resort. You know, a lot of times we get into a situation and we kind of take matters into our own hands, and then we get in trouble and we want God to bail us out. And we kind of treat prayer, it's kind of like that one phone call you get if you go to jail. How many of you have ever been to jail before? Just kidding, don't raise your hand. But, you know, you go to jail and you get the one phone call, right? You can call your lawyer or something like that. And we kind of get that way, like, I've exhausted all of my options. Let me make my last final resort is to cry out to God to bail me out. But what if we made prayer like our first response rather than just this last ditch effort, last resort, and God, you're going to bail us out. No, we're going to pray first. When we wake up in the morning, we're going to pray first, right? Before we leave the house to go to work, we're going to pray first. Before our kids leave in the morning, we're going to bless them. We're going to pray first. Before we sit down to enjoy a meal, we're going to pray first. Before we make a big decision, we're going to pray first. If you're married and your wife asks you, does this dress make me look fat? Before you answer that question, you're going to pray first. You better pray first. You better pray first before you answer that question. Can I get an amen from all the husbands? See, when you think about prayer, I want you to think about prayer as coming into agreement with God's will for your life. Prayer is literally praying into reality God's will for your life and for the world around you. We want to have a sense of God's will, right? Like God is like ordering our steps and a sense that he's in our decisions and in our priorities for the year. And then we know that prayer is also, it's a conduit to God's presence. It's the place where heaven and earth meet. And so if you want more of God's presence, you got to pray. How many of you know that if you had more of a sense of God's will in your life and more of a sense of God's presence in your everyday life, it would make a huge difference in your world, in your life. Come on, it would make a huge difference if you had a greater sense that like God was going before you and he was in your decisions and he was given direction and you had a sense that he was like with you throughout the day. That would change your life in the year ahead. That's what we want for you. That's my heart for you. And so let's look at a scripture today. This is a scripture that's going to be a key verse for this Pray First series. And it comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Very simple, short, powerful scripture. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Rejoice always. Read this out loud with me. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some of you are wondering, like, Pastor, I wish I knew God's will for my life. Well, congratulations. You came to church and you got the answer to your prayer. Here's God's will for you, to pray continually. Give thanks in every circumstance and pray continually. The more traditional translations of this verse, like the King James, say pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. See, what if we brought God into every situation? situation of our lives? Like, what if we actually put verse 17 into practice and we prayed continually? Like, before I leave the house in the morning on my way to work, God, I'm asking you to order my steps today. I'm inviting you into my day. If you have kids, your kids are getting ready to leave the house to catch the bus to go to school. God, I bless my kids today. Keep your hand of protection over them. Before you go into this budget meeting at work, God, I'm asking for your wisdom and your favor. Before you get into that conference call, God, I'm asking you to be with me. If we prayed continually all throughout the day, prayed without ceasing. Now, I know some of you are thinking, how do you do that? Like, what does it look like to pray continually, like nonstop, to pray without ceasing? Well, I want to give you a quote from a famous evangelist and revivalist of the last century, an amazing man of God named Smith Wigglesworth. What a name, huh? Smith Wigglesworth. He said this, "I never pray more than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without praying." Isn't that a powerful quote? Some of y'all need to snap a picture of that quote. I never pray more than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without prayer, right? It's this sense of like, I'm in communication with God all throughout the day. I'm talking to God. I'm mindful that God is with me and he's with me all throughout my day and I can talk to him and commune with him. This is the idea of just living with an awareness of God's presence in your life. That's prayerfulness. And so to help you with that, we have some bracelets for you today as you leave this place. Everybody's going to get a prayer guide and one of these pray first bracelets, okay? A really practical thing you can do. You can wear this and I would just encourage you, this is a great way to get into this habit of prayer over the next 21 days. We have one for everybody. You can get your pray first bracelet on. It'll be there for you. So when you go to work and you see that really annoying person that you can't stand and you want to tell them what you really think about them, before you open your mouth, you're going to snap this bracelet and pray first. Come on, before you get in traffic and somebody cuts you off and you're tempted to commit road rage and end up on the evening news, you're going to look at your bracelet and pray first. Your kids are driving you crazy and you're this close to committing child abuse. Come on, we've been there before. You're going to look at your bracelet and pray first. Come on, are you getting it this morning? I want you to get this in your spirit. We're going to pray first. That's our rallying cry this year. So everybody get your bracelet. Let's wear these and let's all cheer each other on. And over the next 21 days, we're going to get in this habit of just continual prayer, just staying in dialogue with God all throughout the day. Now, let me just acknowledge for a moment. I know for many of you, like when you think about prayer, this is a difficult thing. Like, you know, your experience with prayer has not been a joyful one. It feels tedious and it was something maybe you were like made to do as a child or you kind of learned these prayers that never were very life-giving. And you know, where do I start, right? Like, where do I find the time to pray? And you know, Pastor, I try to pray, but I run out of things to say and it's just not something I enjoy. It feels like a discipline. It feels like something you have to do. And here's my heart for you. My heart for you is to get to the place that prayer actually becomes a joy in your life, something you look forward to. Can I just tell you this morning, church, that some of the greatest dreams that have come to pass in my life were born out of times of prayer? Let me just tell you, you're sitting in the reality of a dream right now. This church plant, Redemption, was born out of a season of prayer. I want you to get this. Like, when you pray, you dream with God. And so I want you to get to this place where you long to pray, where you actually look forward to your prayer, and it becomes refreshing to your soul, and it becomes one of the great joys of your life. And so today, I want to just give you some practical ideas, some practical teaching to help you embrace prayer as a lifestyle. And so today, I want to invite you to take some notes. So this would be a great time to open up the Redemption app. If you don't have that, just go to our website, scroll down to the bottom. You can get the Redemption app there because there's a spot in the app where you can take notes every week. Take some notes today. And then the whole idea is to put this into practice. Okay, take some notes and actually use what I'm going to give you today over the next 21 days as we get into this habit of daily prayer. Now, before I get into giving you some practical application, let me just acknowledge firsthand that there is a challenge that we face as modern day people. And here it is. Our problem is that we have a tendency to compartmentalize our lives. You know, we have a tendency to kind of live our lives in compartments. Like there's my career and my professional compartment of my life over here. There's my health and wellness, you know, life over here. And I go to the gym and I try to eat a good diet. That's over here. There's my social life over over here, and there's, you know, my relationships, and there's my financial life, and there's my spiritual life over here. Isn't this nice? Here's my spiritual life. And many of us, like, you grew up in a traditional church, and like you kind of went to church on Sunday, and that was where you fulfilled the spiritual compartment. You know, like, I go to church on Sunday, I check that box, that's when I pray, that's when I worship, that's really nice, but I have these other areas of my life over here. And let me just tell you something. God wants something so much more for you than that. Like, God's desire for you is that Sunday would spill over into every other day of your life, that his presence would bleed over into every compartment of your life. God doesn't just want one compartment of your life. He wants every part of your life. And we got to get to this recognition, like, God, I cannot do this without you. God, I cannot live this Christian life. I cannot walk this walk that you're calling me to walk without you. I need your presence in every area of my life. Come on, I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're responding right now. We need God in every area of our lives. I don't know about you, but I've discovered I cannot do this without him. And so this is about embracing a lifestyle of prayer. This is about embracing a lifestyle of prayer, because this is your year to step into being the person that God's calling you to be. Like, come on, if you're married, this is your year to step into being the spouse that you really know deep down on the inside that you want to be. To be the parent that God is calling you to be. To be the professional that God is calling you to be. To be the person that God is calling you to be. And so we need a lifestyle of prayer. And so let me give you four principles to embrace a lifestyle of prayer. Four really practical things. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Number one, we want to embrace the priority of prayer. Everybody say priority. The priority of prayer. We said earlier that our rallying cry for this year is pray first. We want to emphasize the first in pray first, right? Because what you do first reveals your priorities. I don't know about you, but you know, when it comes to my finances, one of the first things I make sure I do is I make sure the mortgage is paid, right? You make sure your mortgage or your rent is paid because you want to have a roof over your head. I don't know about you, but we prioritize getting groceries, right? Like food and shelter. These are the basic things. What we do first reveals our priorities. At work, if your boss has given you an assignment, a project, you prioritize that. You work on that first because you need job security. Are you with me? Come on, ladies. I know that for all of you, one of the things that you do first thing in the morning is you put on your makeup, right? Because you never know when you might meet Mr. Right, and it's a priority for you to look good when you leave the house. Can I get an amen from all the single ladies in the house? All right? These the things that we do first reveal our priorities. And in Scripture, we see this principle of setting apart the first things unto God. In fact, there's this principle, there's this idea that the first has the power to bless the rest. The first has the power to bless the rest. For example, we see people consecrating their firstborn child to God in the Scripture, right? As a symbol of God's blessing, like thankfulness for God's blessing. I'm consecrating the firstborn because I want God's blessing on my household. Now, when it comes to the tithe, we see the principle of bringing our first fruits, right? It's this idea that I'm going to bring the first 10% of my finances to God because I want his blessing on the rest. I'm believing that he can do more, right? I'm believing that God can bless the 90% and make it go further than it could with 100% on my own. So I bring my first fruits. Today is Sunday. This is the first day of the week, right? And so symbolically, we voted with our feet, and we've come to God's house together today and devoted the first day of the week to God as an act of worship. We've set aside the first things. See, what you do first reveals your priorities. And when you pray first, you are prioritizing the will of God for your life. Come on, you're not just doing some habit. You're not just doing some nice spiritual religious thing. You are actually prioritizing the will of God for your life. You're saying, in a sense, God, I want your will more than anything else, more than I want my own way or what someone else wants from me. God, I want your will in every area of my life. That's what prayer is about, when you prioritize it. And so we see this in the life of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 in the Gospel of Mark. Here's what it says. Very early in the morning. How many of you know that's priority? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus prioritized his prayer life, his time of praying and speaking to God the Father. It was a priority for him first thing in the morning. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only time you can pray, but it sure makes a whole lot of sense to prioritize it in that way. And we see that in the life of Jesus. And so let me just give you a simple application point. Make an appointment with God and keep it. make an appointment with God and keep it. If you're like me, I use my iPhone and I have appointments in my calendar, right? And if I make an appointment with somebody and somebody asks me for that time, I say, I'm sorry, I'm not available. Can we try for another time? Because I already have an appointment, right? Some of you, like, you need to get God on your Google calendar. Like, you might have to just actually take this practical step of putting God on your calendar. And when someone asks you that time, you don't have to tell them who it's with, but you might just have to say, I'm sorry, I've already got a really important appointment at that time. We need to prioritize this time of prayer, of talking and communing with God. And so make an appointment with God and keep it, and watch how it affects every area of your life. You know, for me, I've just learned that in the morning time, I have to give that time to God. Like my phone on most days is in airplane mode in the morning. If you try to get me in the morning, don't take it personal. My phone's just in airplane mode, because I've learned that once I start replying to texts and getting into emails, I get sucked in and the day gets away from me. And so I've just learned I've got to prioritize that time. Most of my appointments are lunch appointments or afternoon appointments. I'm not saying that there's never an exception, but most of the time, for the most part, I've learned that morning time, I've got to prioritize prayer. All right, here's the second thing, really practical. Number two, first of all, we're going to prioritize prayer. Number two is the place of prayer. The place of prayer. Let's look at the same verse again, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, that's priority. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus had a prayer place. He had a predetermined place where he was going to go to pray. This could be a game changer for you. You need to find your prayer place. You need a place, preferably a distraction-free place where you can really still your heart and your mind and your spirit before God. It's amazing what can happen in your life when you just get quiet by yourself for just a few minutes. I mean, we live, as modern-day people, such noisy, busy lives. We got phones that are buzzing and beeping all day long. We got TV, we got radio, we got noisy people all around. It's amazing what would happen if you just unplug for a few minutes and you get still and you get quiet. It's amazing how you would get more in touch with what's really going on inside of you and how you could hear God's voice if you would just get quiet. You'd be blown away how that would solve some things in your life. I'm just saying, that's a sermon for another time. Some of y'all aren't really getting it, but you really need to try this. You gotta find a place where you can connect with God. And so find a place that works for you. Maybe it's a bedroom at home. Some of you have a home office at home. That's a great quiet place for you. Some of you, it's commuting in the car. You could repurpose that time. Some of you, you have a commute, right? You're gonna be stuck in traffic anyway for a half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. Might as well repurpose that time, put on some worship music and make that a place where you meet with God. I do this sometimes. You might see me driving down the 287 sometime getting my worship on, because that's what I do. Sometimes I just got to put some worship music on. Maybe you want a prayer walk in your neighborhood. When we lived in downtown Harrison, right down the end of our block was St. Gregory's Catholic Church. And, you know, I got a house full of rowdy boys. And so I used to go down to St. Gregory's and I was sitting there and it was beautiful. It was quiet. People would come in and light their prayer candles and cross themselves and leave. And I was sitting in there. I felt like I had the whole place to myself. And that really became a place where I met God. I had some special moments in that prayer place. I used to tease my Catholic friends and say, I'm Catholic during the week and I'm Protestant on the weekends, because all during the week I'm praying over there at St. Gregory's. Honorary member, you know? I'm not sure they believe that, but I'm just saying. And, you know, in recent years, I get outdoors and I prayer walk. It's so good for me. And that's one of the things we're blessed with in Westchester. We have so many beautiful parks and all around us. And so I get out, I'll go for a jog sometimes, and then I just go for a prayer walk. And I feel like I can just pray better under an open heaven, just walking out in nature, just out there talking to God. Do I pass somebody every now and then who thinks I have multiple personality disorder? Yes, I do. But it's just me. Oh, y'all got to lighten up and have a little fun in church. It's just me and the squirrels and the birds, and we're talking to Jesus. And I'm telling you, some of the best moments of my day are just out and just praying and just hearing from God. And I'll stop and write things down that I feel like God is speaking to me. And so for me, it's good to just get out and move. I got to move and walk and pray. Find what works for you. Find your place. Find your place. Is this helping anybody? Just practical stuff. All right, here's the third thing, okay? The plan of prayer. Not only do we need to make prayer our priority, not only do we need to find our place of prayer, but you need a plan of prayer. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 1 first. Here's what it says. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus' disciples were watching Jesus pray. They saw that he had a habit of regular prayer, and they noticed that Jesus' prayer life was effective, right? And so they wanted to learn how to pray like Jesus prayed. In fact, they're like, hey, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us to pray. Give us like a plan. Give us a pattern. And so here's what Jesus said in verse 2. So he said to them, and he gives them the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We know that Matthew's gospel adds, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus gives them a plan, a pattern of prayer that they could follow. And many of you, you learned to pray the Lord's Prayer, right? How many of you, that was one of the first prayers you learned as a child? Like, you can pray the Lord's Prayer in your sleep. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like, you can, right? You can pray it in Spanish and English with your eyes closed, half awake. Like, you, this is, and we pray it sometimes like from rote memory without even thinking about it. And that is not the purpose of the Lord's Prayer. Like, Jesus gave it to us as a pattern of prayer, as a plan of prayer. And let me just tell you, for me, like, this is still my basic plan of prayer. When I go out on prayer walk, you know, sometimes I have something specific I'm praying through, but on most days I'm praying through the Lord's Prayer. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? That's worship. God, I thank you for this day. And I begin to bless his name. And for me, worship is gratitude. I begin thanking him for the things that I have and the roof over my head and my family. And I just begin with worship, right? God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. God, I want more of your kingdom in my life. May your kingdom come into my home, my life, my marriage, my ministry, my decisions. God, I want your will. I want you ordering my steps. And I begin to pray about the decisions that I'm making. God, give me today my daily bread. God, you know my needs. You are my provider. I'm trusting you for this and for that. And right, forgive me of my sins. Come on, we always have a laundry list of sins. If we're honest, God, forgive me, right? And let me forgive those who have sinned against me. It's a pattern that I pray through. And so you need a plan. Many of us, we fail to pray because we fail to make a plan of prayer. And so we're going to get really practical today. As you leave, we're going to give you this prayer guide. And this prayer guide, that's designed to give you a plan, a strategy for prayer. And one of the first guides in here, one of the first models is the Lord's Prayer. And you can pray through this. And this is good for all of us, whether you're somebody who has experience in prayer and you need a tune-up. I think we can all use a tune-up right about now. If you're brand new to prayer or you haven't prayed since, like, you know, you are a child, now I lay me down to sleep type prayers, this is a great place to start. In fact, it's even got some prayers that you can pray. There's a prayer guide in here that uses the symbolism of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There are some beautiful prayers based on the Psalms. I tell you, you want a place to inspire your prayer life? Get into the Psalms. The Psalms are the original prayer book of God's people. You want language for your Psalms? There's the full range of human emotions and needs are in the Psalms. I love the Psalms. I spend almost every day in the Psalms. 2 years ago, we did a whole series on praying through the Psalms. And so there's a lot of beautiful Psalms in here you can pray. So get one of these guides on your way out today, one for everybody, and use this to help you create a plan of prayer and watch how your prayer life becomes more effective. Okay, every one of us, we need a plan of prayer. Here's the fourth thing. The fourth thing is the perspective of prayer. The perspective of prayer. This is about how you see God when you go into prayer. The perspective of God, like how you see God when you go into prayer. The great spiritualist and author A.W. Tozer said, what comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Because your view of God determines your relationship with God. I'll say that again. Your view of God determines your relationship with God. So we want to have a proper view of who he is. And let's just be honest, for many of us, we grew up in a church tradition or a certain denomination that, like, God, it always felt like God was a taskmaster because everything felt like obligation, right? There were these things you had to do to kind of appease God. You wanted to make sure that he wasn't angry with you. You certainly didn't want to end up going to hell. So you had to do all of these religious things. You had to jump through all of these hoops. And it felt like one big guilt trip. It felt like obligation. situation. And so really, it kind of created a lens for you. And without even realizing it subconsciously, you still kind of see God that way. And it puts a tinge on the way you pray. But it's so important for us to get the proper perspective of prayer, that when you go into prayer, you're praying to a loving Heavenly Father. You're praying to a loving Heavenly Father, and you're praying to God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of grace, and the Holy Spirit, who is with you, who is your helper in your time of need. You got to get the proper perspective when you go into prayer. Let me give you a powerful scripture that'll help you from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. So stop right there. What does a priest do? A priest, in essence, is a mediator. A priest is a go-between. A priest represents God to the people and people to God. That's what a priest does. A priest is a mediator of God's presence. Look at verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. I've got good news for you. Our high priest is Jesus Christ himself, who walked in our shoes. We're coming off of the Christmas season, right, where we celebrated the incarnation, like the beautiful reality that the Son of God became flesh and blood, and he's walked in our shoes. He knows what it is to be a human. He's experienced the full range of emotions, and so he's a God who can relate to us in our weakness because he's faced the same things that we've faced, but he's overcome. That's who you're praying to. That's your high priest. And so look what it says in verse 16. Once you get this perspective, watch how it changes your prayer life. We don't come to God trembling. We don't come to God feeling like a bunch of low down, dirty sinners. No, verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his what? His mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Come on. That's who we pray to. A loving, gracious God. And so we don't go to him worrying about guilt and condemnation and feeling like we're not worthy. No, we go expecting to receive his mercy and his grace. You got to get a proper perspective of just who you're praying to. I saw this meme on social media, and I wrote this quote down. I love this. It says, never limit your prayers because you think you're sinful or undeserving. You're not praying because of who you are. You're praying because of who he is. Come on, it's not about who you are. It's not about how bad you messed up, because I know sometimes we have this sense of going back to God. God, I'm here again. Same old problem, same old temptation, same old failure, same old needs, and we kind of feel like God is just fed up with us. No. You're not going to him because of who you are. You're going because of who he is. And I love this picture of Jesus as our high priest, because the way I picture it is something like this, that Jesus, our high priest, he's hearing our prayers and he's carrying them to the Father. And I love this picture of Jesus's humanity, that he's faced all the same weaknesses, all the same testings that we face. In a sense, I kind of see him hearing our prayers and bringing them to God the Father and saying, Father, we've got to help them because I know what they're going through. Father, you've got to hear their prayers because I went through that same situation when I walked on planet Earth. I faced that same thing. I know that same hurt. I know what it feels like to be lonely. I know what it feels like to be abandoned. I've walked in their shoes. Father, we've got to help them. We've got to give them grace. We've got to give them mercy. We've got to give them strength. We've got to give them peace because I've been there before. It's a beautiful picture of what happens when we pray. And so this morning, as we close out, I want to ask you again, how many of you really want to have the best 2020 you could have? How many of you really want to grow? How many of you really want to grow spiritually? You want to see God touch every area of your life. There's a longing in your heart to say, I don't want to go through 2020 without God. I don't want to do this on my own, but I want to have a greater sense that God is ordering my steps, that he's going before me. He's helping me with every decision I make, everything I'm going to face in this next year, and he's with me. How many of you really want a greater sense of that? Let's commit ourselves to prayer. How would it change your life if you really committed to making prayer your first response rather than your last resort? I'm telling you, it could change your life. Because no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you're always in one of three places. You're either going backwards, you're staying in the same place, which is another way of saying growing stale or stagnant, or you're moving forward. Ask yourself that question. Which one of those describes where you are right now? Are you going backwards? Are you staying in the same place? Are you moving forward and growing spiritually? Imagine what your life could look like in this next year, this time next year, if you had a greater sense of God's will, a greater sense of his purpose going before you and every decision, every high and every low you face this next year, in a greater sense that God was with you throughout your daily life. I believe it would change your life. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to just pray into this. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together. But we're going to make the commitment in our hearts, if this is really your heart's desire, to pray first, God, to prioritize you. God, we are giving you the first part of our year, believing that as we give you the first, you will bless the rest. Come on, that's our heart's desire. God, we give you the first part of our year. We give you the first, believing that you will bless the rest. If you want that this morning, would you just bow your head? Maybe you want to lift your hands in prayer as a sign of surrender and agreement. Father, we thank you so much for your love today. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. We thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy, and we can approach your throne boldly today as your sons and daughters. And God, our heart's desire is to know you better, God, to love you more, to have more of a sense of your will in our lives and your presence in our daily lives. And so we commit in our hearts today to pray first, to make prayer our first response, not our last resort. And God, we believe that as we do, you're going to draw close to us. God, I thank you that your word says as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. In our weakness, you will be made strong and you will be with us. Father, I pray your blessing over every person in this place, that as we give you our first, that you are going to bless the rest. May it be done in our lives in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.